Moto.
Elizabeth is pooping right now.
Elizabeth.
Well, Lizzie. I don't know. I'm gonna ask her
Oh
what she
my
wants to
God.
be called because,
Her God-given name is Elizabeth. Oh my God.
my dad calls her Beth, and my mom calls her Lizzie, and I call her Lizzie, and Henry calls her Elizabeth. So I don't know what she wants to be called.
Henry calls him your mom's name. That's kind of weird.
Wait, no, he might call her Liz. I can't remember. We're gonna ask her.
Okay, good.
Oh shit, no. How do I get a video? Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, why am I so small? Not bigger. In directly right here, but it looks like I'm looking over there, and the fucking camera's right here. So our friend Michael is over right now and we're talking about TikTok and I was like, oh my God, like Henry's sister went viral on TikTok and blah blah blah. And I showed him your video and he's like, I've seen that.
Shut
Oh
up.
my God.
And I was like, look, your video has almost a million views, dude. Just
Oh
by
my
showing
God.
your feed.
I'm obsessed.
Isn't that crazy?
Hey. What?
Hey.
Hey, put it back on camera.
Henry.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, don't fuck this up.
I'm not going to the room. I just got a PlayStation and the new Star Wars game.
Oh, cool. Have fun.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I heard his voice and I was like, I need to say right now, don't fuck this up. Okay, so I wanted to say before we get started, so Ariana doesn't know anything about Maura Murray,
Okay.
right? And I know kind of a little bit, but you have like the most notes out of any of us.
I took, listen to this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 notes about this.
So I'm gonna kind of let you go over the timeline and then I'll interject if there's something that like I have that you don't have, and then Ariana's gonna interject if she has questions, okay?
Okay.
So like you're running this podcast.
I got it. Okay.
Woo! Okay. Let me do an introduction real quick and then we'll get started with like how our weeks were, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what I wanna say.
Say.
Okay, wait, what episode is this? This is episode 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. This is Wild and Woke, episode 7. I think that's it.
Perfect. Great.
Okay, so Lizzie, do you want us to call you Lizzie or Beth or Liz or Elizabeth?
Let's do Elizabeth. Beth just makes me feel like a lesbian. Being honest.
Okay,
Being a
Elizabeth, how was your week?
It was great. It was really good
Did you do
ish.
anything fun?
No, I worked. I work at a daycare. Is it Ariana or Ariana?
Either go, it's fine.
I work at a daycare, and every day definitely tests my anxiety. I'm always on the verge of a mental breakdown. And I was talking to one of the girls that works there, and she told me that she's had a panic attack on the way home from work. And I was like, dude, I've almost been there. I'm not even kidding. I love kids though, but it's like 40 of them.
Oh,
So
how
yeah.
old are they?
So I do after school, and they're in kindergarten to fifth grade. The oldest one there is 13, but she is special needs. But she's in fourth grade.
Wow.
Yeah, it just rained.
That's a ton of fucking kids. I can't even watch my one child and not
And
have a
it's.
panic attack.
I know. It's just like 20 different kids coming up to you, like, Missy Elizabeth, can I go to the bathroom? Can I go get my water bottle? When he was talking to me, he almost hit me when he ran by me, and it's like, that was an accident. Go get your water bottle. Yes, go to the bathroom. Like, stop tattling. Go
Oh
tell.
my God.
He tells me everything at the end of the day. Go tell him.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, Ariana, how was your week?
Oh, it was good. I don't think anything happened since yesterday.
That's true. We did just talk yesterday.
Okay, I'd have to shout out Amazon's returns, though. If anybody has any complaints, just use their customer service chat button. One, you don't have to talk to anybody to their face. And then two, it's really helpful. They have, like, an automated system to get you to the right fucking person right away. So you're not, like, bouncing around. Let me transfer you. Let me transfer you. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to shout out our reviews that we have on Apple Podcasts.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So the Recovering Dramatic is another podcast. It's actually my friend Chloe. She used to do the modeling for the boutique when I had it, and she gave us 5 stars. So fuck yeah, go Chloe.
Thanks,
you
Chloe.
You should go listen to her podcast, The Recovering Dramatic. It's really good. Journey is one of my old employees when I worked for Aerie, and she is the one who kind of talked about how she had gone to Helen's Bridge too, and she gave us 5 stars. And then this girl that's not Ariana.
It's not me.
Gave us 5 stars, and she was basically like, talented, brilliant, incredible, amazing, show-stopping, spectacular. So, I mean, she's probably the best review we have so far, and I have no idea who it is.
Not me.
It sounds like Lady Gaga.
Sounds like Lady Gaga, yeah.
Basically.
Quote. Where she's, I don't know what she's talking about, but people have turned it into memes, and it's just her sitting in a chair, and she's like, spectacular, amazing, wonderful, brilliant, beautiful.
Sounds I have like, no idea. I've seen that, too, and I don't know what she's talking about, either.
Our podcast. That's what she's talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, so, Elizabeth, tell us about Maura Murray.
Okay, so, Maura Murray disappeared February 9th, 2004, from Haverhill, New Hampshire.
And this was like the peak of when social media was becoming a thing, right?
I think so. Did we know when MySpace first started?
Oh, I think it was like 2002-ish.
2003.
Okay. So she's been missing for 15 years. Wow. 15 years of no one hearing from her. No one's seen her. It's wild.
Wow.
She disappeared when she was 21. She is 5'7", with brown hair, brown eyes. She was a runner, so in almost all the pictures I've seen of her, she looks like she's slim and athletic. She has 2 sisters named Kathleen and Julie, and 2 brothers named Kurt and Fred.
And I didn't know she had siblings.
Yeah, I didn't either. I knew she had a sister.
Are they like step-siblings or half-siblings?
I think they're all related because, yeah, no. I think they're all related, but their parents divorced later on in life. So she was a track star at her high school, and she got a scholarship to attend the University of Massachusetts Amherst, the Amherst campus. She was in the military, but she got caught stealing makeup from the commissary.
What?
And she was asked to leave. So she wasn't, like, blacklisted and was like, you're kicked out. So they just asked her to leave.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she had problems stealing because she stole from the commissary, but she also stole a credit card. I'm not sure what she would buy with the credit card, but
I read that she would order food with the credit card.
Right. Yes. And she had to pay all that back. So, so next I have some stuff about Kathleen, which I'm not sure how old she is. But this is what I saw on Wikipedia talking about, like, her timeline of her disappearance. So February 5th, 4 days before she disappeared. Her sister Kathleen was a recovering alcoholic. And it's weird because throughout this whole case of Maura, it's obvious that Maura also suffered from, like, drinking issues. Because she would drive a lot and she got in a lot of accidents and stuff like that and, like, stealing and whatnot, so she definitely had personal problems. So Maura and her sister talked on the phone. No one really knows exactly what they talked about, but Kathleen later on mentioned that they had talked about how her fiance bought her to a liquor store, and Maura ended up having an emotional breakdown at work because of it. And
wait, Kathleen's fiance or Maura's?
Kathleen's.
Okay.
So they're talking on the phone while Maura's at work. And Maura was so distraught over it that her boss had to escort her back to her dorm because she worked. I'm assuming she was like an RA, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. All Maura was able to say was my sister when anybody asked what was wrong. So that's weird.
And that was a few days before?
4 days.
That's interesting because when I was looking her up, I didn't find anything about that. I mean, I found the information about, like, her dad came to visit her a few days beforehand, and that's when she crashed his car and things kind of went down from there. But I didn't know about her sister. I didn't know she had a drinking problem. I didn't know that Maura was so distraught over it.
Wow.
Crashed his brand new car. His brand new car that he just got, and it was $10,000 worth of damage on it. And he was just like, yeah, the insurance company will, they'll pay for it. And there's like, she wasn't like reprimanded or anything. Which
weird.
I don't know.
Okay, are they like really well off?
I don't know.
Her and her dad were very, very close. And he said, talking about it even today, because she disappeared the day after she crashed his car. And she said that he said Maura was so distraught. He couldn't calm her down about it. And he kept reassuring her it was okay. You know, insurance is going to cover it. It wasn't a big deal. But he said she was just so distraught over it. And I wonder if it was just like a bunch of things leading up to that point. Like her sister, she was really upset over what happened with her sister. Then she crashed her dad's car. And then she goes missing the next day. Like, that's weird.
Right. And she was also drunk when she crashed his car, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She struck a guardrail. Yeah. And I mean, it's bizarre. Which is why I remember telling you that I was really confused about her dad because, I mean, he rescued her every other time that she was in trouble. And you would think maybe he would limit some, I don't know, she would have restrictions or something like that.
Was she, like, the favorite? Like, were all the other kids treated like that by the dad? Or was she, like, the favorite clearly?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about her brothers.
Because, like, if, I'm pretty sure if, like, my brother crashed the car and... Well, they were like, it's fine. You had a DUI. It's fine. I'd be like, what the fuck? No, that's not okay. You can't let him get away with that, you know?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Exactly. So February 7th, 2004, this is 2 days before she disappeared, Mara and her dad went car shopping. They went to dinner because she drove a really rundown car. It was on its last leg. I think it just got her from point A to point B, but I mean, she would just drive around campus to the parties and hang out with friends and stuff like that. So she didn't go far. Fred, which is Mara's dad, he dropped her off at his hotel. Or no, I'm sorry. Mara dropped Fred off at his motel. And then she asked to borrow the car to go to a dorm party. And then at 2:30 a.m. on February 8th, I'm assuming this is it happened after midnight.
Yeah. She
obviously, because I just said 2:30 a.m. Dumb bitch. I'm looking at this and I'm like, am I dyslexic? And so she left the party on, and on her way back to the motel, she struck a guardrail, which caused $10,000 in damage. But there was no sobriety test done, just an accident report. Which, wouldn't you smell it on her?
That's what I asked.
And I wonder if, like, the alcohol is what made her so distraught, too. Like, when she was talking to her dad, wouldn't her dad smell it on her or anything like that? So she was driven back to the motel. I'm not sure by who. Maybe a friend, the cop. I don't know. When she got back to the motel, she called her boyfriend at 4:49 a.m., but no one knows what they talked about.
Do they know how long the call was?
No, I didn't see anything about that. Her boyfriend's name is Billy Rausch. By the way, I don't know if I'm saying his last name right. R-A-U-S-C-H. Rausch.
Rausch, yeah. And then he was in the Army, or he was at West Point. I don't know if he was in the Army. Yeah, I think he was in the Army. And there's been a lot of skepticism around him as well, hasn't there?
I don't know. I saw things about they had been together for a while. They were definitely married. They got along really well. No, I haven't really seen anything negative, but yeah. So February 9th, 2004, the day she disappeared, Around midnight, Mara printed MapQuest directions to head to the Berkshires and Burlington, Vermont. She emailed her boyfriend, Billy, and she said, "I got your messages, but honestly, I didn't feel like talking to much of anybody. I promised to call today, though." So she also called another nursing student. By the way, she was a nurse, and she was in nursing school at the University of Massachusetts, which is another thing, because being a nurse, wouldn't you know the dangers of drinking and driving and binge drinking?
Oh, you know, for sure.
But I mean, I get that, like, problems can build up and you're just, you don't give a damn, and it's like, give me a beer, give me a shot, everything will be fine. I totally get that. So she called another nursing student. Nobody knows what they talked about. She called about renting a condo, but never followed through. It was never rented to her. Mara did call her boyfriend back, but she left a voicemail, and it says that in her tone that she had a lot on her mind and needed to talk to him. And I was wondering if, like, maybe there was something going on, like maybe she was pregnant, were they breaking up, was she, like, getting cold feet because, like, they were getting super serious or something about that. I don't know. So she told her boss that there had been a death in her family, which was a lie. So she packed a bunch of stuff up in her dorm, literally everything. Her decor, clothes, everything was put in boxes. But I guess she just packed however much would fit in her car. So to me, it seems like she didn't plan on coming back.
Yeah. You know?
So. And then.
So hold on real quick. I found an interview they did with the assistant coach at University of Massachusetts. And he was, oh my God, the assistant coach of the track team. I don't know how to say his name. It's like Hosian Baghdadi or something. It's a foreign name.
Baghdadi.
He admitted that they were dating on the side and that was the track team's cabin that she was going to meet him for the weekend.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, it's so wild because, I mean, if that was the case, maybe she was, like, calling to tell her boyfriend that and...
Okay, because I was confused as to, like, why she was going to this random place and packed all of her shit. Because even if she's still going to go visit him, why would you take, like, you're moving?
Right.
What's special about... I mean, I know it's the Berkshires, but, like, she pulled money out of her bank account, but it was only, like, $240. And, like, what can you really do with $240 in the Berkshires?
And she bought a ton of liquor when she stopped at the liquor store. She bought, like, Kahlua, Bailey's, a thing of vodka, a thing of boxed wine. And, I mean, that couldn't have been just for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have if she was going to go off the deep end. But, I mean, I would think...
I mean, she could have. But if you're trying to go off the deep end, like, that is a weird-ass mix of shit to buy. Right. Just, like, my own personal opinion. Like, you're trying to get fucked up. I'd be like, not that mix.
Anyway, so I just wanted to kind of throw that in there that I had read that and...
Okay, this is all sounding very crazy. So it's like the day before she gets in a car accident and fucks up her dad's car, right?
Yeah.
From drinking and driving. Then, okay, if she goes home that night at 4 a.m., it could be to, like, call her boyfriend to tell him what happened maybe, because that's, like, what my thought process is, because it's like you're at a party, you leave at 2 a.m., get in a car accident. Was he at the party, the boyfriend?
No.
Because
they didn't live in the same area.
Okay, yeah. So I think that might have been, like, a call, like, hey, I fucked up. And he probably, if he was a good boyfriend, would be like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? And probably shit on her. And it probably made her feel terrible.
Yeah.
And then on the side, if this whole track coach thing is real, then it's like now she has all these conflicting emotions. Like, and now she's probably stressed the fuck out, honestly. And, like, probably depressed at this point because this is so much.
And she's in nursing school.
She's in nursing school, so her depression is already, like, up to her eyeballs, and this just pushed it. She's drowning in it.
Yeah. Okay, so 3:30, this is February 9th, Mara left in her 1996 Saturn that was on its last leg. At 3:40, she is seen on an ATM camera pulling out $280 in cash, which she had. At 4:37 p.m., she started checking her voicemails, I guess to see if her boyfriend responded to her, the email she sent earlier. By 7 p.m., she was stranded on the side of the road. after being involved in a wrong way crash, which I'm assuming the alcohol definitely helped with that.
Yeah.
So she was drinking, from what I read, and she was drinking wine out of a 20-liter bottle because after the crash, there was red liquid on the roof of the car, which wasn't blood. So they said it was just a red alcoholic beverage. Hmm. And I would assume, you know, wine.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, especially since it says she bought boxed wine.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a few neighbors who witnessed the crash, but they didn't do anything.
What?
I guess I guess maybe they noticed other people saw the crash, and after those neighbors watched it happen, a guy who was driving a bus ended up stopping and talking to her. So I guess the neighbors were just like, "Up, oh, it's handled. He's got it. None of our business."
So she crashed. So where she crashed and like the last person she was seen was somewhere where people were.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, and she crashed into a snowbank, didn't she?
Yeah.
Apparently she crashed around where people fucking live. And I'm looking at this
yes.
Google images of like where she had this car accident. And now I'm thinking someone murdered her for sure. Because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 buildings within not even a mile radius of where she crashed her car.
Right. That's what I thought. Because in the police report, they had dogs. They had helicopters. People walked around on foot. And I'm assuming they walked around on foot after the helicopters and the dogs searched the area, and there was no trace of someone leaving on foot. And then they were like, oh, maybe she walked in the road, but somebody would have seen her, you know, because it's, I mean, from what I read, it's a popular road, and it's, there's no cell phone service out there. It's, I also read that it was one of the worst places to crash since there is no cell phone service. But yeah.
I mean, it was it, so obviously snowbank, so it was like heavy snow, or was it just like a snow from the day before, or?
Heavy snow, since it was, she crashed in New Hampshire, right?
She crashed in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay, so it was like hella snow, okay.
And the crazy thing is the guy who stopped to help her, he wasn't able to call 911 from standing right in front of her. He had to drive home and then call 911.
Yeah, but she told him not to. She said, oh, I have AAA. Don't worry about it. I can handle it. And he kind of told her, okay, I won't. But when he ended up driving away, he called 911. It took them only like 7 or 8 minutes to get there. And by that, maybe 10 minutes. And by that time, she was gone.
Yeah. And it's weird because, I mean, I've never been in a car crash before. And I don't know if you guys have, but like even if I were to be in one accident, it would shake me up. And I don't know if I would want to get behind the wheel for like a long time. And I mean, she ended up crashing her dad's car and is so easily able to get into her car and do the same thing again, drink and drive. That's why I think that like her shit was big. Her personal problems were huge. That is just, there's no regard for my life for others. Like, get me to point A to point B. I'll drink while I get there, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Okay, so a man named Butch, he was a local school bus driver. He stopped to help Mara, who refused his help. He offered to have her stay at his house until the cops showed up, but she refused, which is completely understandable.
Yeah.
She said she already called AAA, but that turned out not to be true. After offering as much help as he could, he went home but decided to call the cops anyways. Cops arrived 10 minutes after Butch left, but Mara was nowhere to be found. So the car was
pretty crazy.
Yeah. Is it? It's fucking wild. So the car was already in bad shape to begin with, but after the accident, it was definitely totaled. I mean, the windshield was broken, airbags deployed, the radiator was pushed all the way to the fan.
Damn.
When she left, she left her credit and debit cards and cell. Oh no, I'm sorry. She took her debit and credit cards. She also took her cell phone. There were no footprints in the snow, suggesting she left on foot. She'd been in trouble before. Maybe she didn't want to get in trouble again. The dogs and the helicopters also found nothing when they searched the woods. And then they thought maybe she was picked up by a stranger, but nobody saw anything. Imagine missing for 15 years and no one knows anything.
I can't imagine that. And I'm just wondering, so she refused the school bus driver's help, or the bus driver's help, But why, if she refused his help, why would she get in the car with someone else unless it was, like, unwillingly? I don't know, but she also took the time to get her cards and her cell phone. Was it snowing? I mean, could the footprints have been covered up by falling snow?
What I thought, but I didn't see anything about it.
Oh, my gosh. Also, one thing that I read is she sent an email before she left. She sent an email to her professors saying that there was a death in the family and she would be back in a week. But her family said there was absolutely no death and they don't know why she lied about that.
Do we know if she's ever been arrested for a DUI before?
I do not know. Ariana, can you Google that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fact check.
That would be my guess as to why she would leave, because like maybe she had just like was able to get off scot-free all these other times, but this time she like convinced herself that she's really going to get arrested, her whole life is going to be ruined, and she was like, no, I don't want that. Let me
no
grab
DUIs.
Exactly.
There's no telling, because when you're 21, your mind is not right. I mean, especially if you're stressed from college, you know, you obviously are on the verge of having a drinking problem. You've been she was probably babied her whole life by her family. Yeah. She probably got a ton of issues. I can't imagine what was going through her mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's next?
Okay, so let's see. So there was a rag in her tailpipe. Okay. What? So remember how I said that the car had been having issues before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the issues was that it was producing a lot of exhaust. And I guess in Massachusetts, your car can't do that. You know, like those obnoxious people who drive the really big trucks, and like as soon as they hit the gas, this a huge cloud of black smoke comes out.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it might have been something like that. So since it wasn't good to begin with, her father had told her to put the rag in the tailpipe because the cops would pull her over for all the smoke coming out of the tailpipe.
Wait, isn't that how you get died
yes.
from carbon monoxide poisoning?
Wouldn't we know this? Carbon monoxide poisoning. Now that makes me think that, like, okay, what if, like, after she crashed the car, she's loopy from maybe carbon monoxide poisoning. Maybe she's also confused and in shock about the car accident, and she just, like, was, and then she's drunk, and, like, all of this stuff is happening, and she doesn't want to get in trouble again, and, like, everything is just rushing through her head at once that she's just like, nope, I'm out. And, like, it, oh, my God, it's just wild. It's so wild.
That's it all really is.
And it's scary that, like, someone who is a human being who has a life and family and friends and, like, they're trying to start a career and they have a job and, like, can just go missing for...
Cannot get past the fact... Okay, so I'm on Reddit.
Yeah.
It's super creditable. So this one is a good, like, thread where they're saying, convince me it wasn't exposure, because this person... Because a lot of people on here think that it's exposure to the elements.
But and where would her body be? And like,
so basically, this person's saying she was trying to flee something anonymously, and that's why she was where her car crashed in the first place. She was involved in an accident that was investigated as a DUI. There was a rag and a tailpipe, which strongly suggests that she tried to restart her vehicle. So I guess someone was saying that, like, if you put the rag in the tailpipe, it can restart it somehow. I fact check that someone on the internet, because I don't know about that. So she hadn't called for help and she denied help. She took items out of her car and locked it and then left. And she was like heading east. And then when the scent dogs started tracking her, they also went east.
Okay.
So there's also a sighting report that someone, saw her like further east after the accident. Allegedly they saw her. And so people are saying that she didn't. So the one person says, like, their rebuttal is number one, she didn't crash in the fucking wilderness. If you look at Google Maps, which was what I was looking at, there's roads triangulating where she had crashed. It's not like she had a car accident and like the Stephen King story, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. It's not like there's a car accident and then Maura walked like right and there's nothing but a vast Appalachian trail and she should have went left. It's like, no, she would have hit the cars because she would hear the cars on the freeway or something.
Yeah.
Like she would have heard something if she was actually looking for help. And then the only 28 degrees outside, assuming that she went to the woods, she would have seen daylight. Like it's not like it was 20 below zero, you know?
She literally crashed in front of a house.
Yeah, there's like a fuck ton of houses right there. And then they're saying, why would she go deep into the woods in the first place? Like, in my brain, if I'm driving at night and I get into a car accident and like I'm fucked up, right? I don't care how fucked up I am not going into the woods alone. Like, I don't care who you are. You're not like, yeah, let's go into the deep, dark, scary woods.
In the middle of winter and fucking, where is it? Vermont? Or New Hampshire?
Yeah, New Hampshire, yeah.
Hell no.
What?
No. I don't know. I've heard, so real quick, I want to tell you the theories that I found, and we can kind of talk about that and then talk more about, you know, her case or whatever. So a lot of people on Reddit said that she was, you know, depressed and suicidal, and she kind of planned this.
Right.
But I don't see how she could plan to crash her car like that.
Right. I mean, I think you could. Like, because honestly, I was looking at the accident of her car, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Like, the car is just, like, dented it a little bit. Like, yeah, obviously, you're going to have some issues. The car is old as shit. But, like, if you're going to plan to crash, that's kind of not that bad. Because also, she's all around people. So maybe she wanted to plan the crash, and then she kind of chickened out, was drunk a little bit, and then, like, decided that was... So if she did actually kill herself, it's like, okay, well, someone's obviously going to find me because it's by houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people say that she was running away from a DWI, which is what you said earlier, Elizabeth. But I found this really interesting theory that says there was a tandem driver. So after she crashed her car and she talked to the bus driver, another person, they had like planned this from the beginning, another person came up and got her and took her to Canada. And they say that person, his name is James Renner. He's a journalist, and he has written multiple blogs about Maura Murray.
Really?
Yeah. That's like a huge theory on Reddit, you know, and that's possible. If you're trying to like escape. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't James Renner that did it. He has just that was his theory. He's written multiple blogs about it. But I mean, it could have been anybody, just someone to get her over to Canada where she could, like, start over and just get away from everything, get away from the DWI, get away from her screwed-up family, you know.
The guy who said that his brother and his fiance were acting weird, is that what you're talking about?
Tell me about that. What is that?
Okay, so, hold on, let me grab my notes. Hold on. Thank you. Question real quick. What's the difference between a DWI and a DUI?
Driving under the influence?
Isn't that the same thing?
One's like a lesser charge, I think.
Okay.
Driving while intoxicated. I think maybe driving while intoxicated is just alcohol, so, and driving under the influence is like drugs.
Yeah, so DWI is like while impaired, so it could be like any impairment, and then DUI is under the influence like of alcohol. Okay. So some states will use it like interchangeably, but like, yeah.
Okay, so there was a man that had approached Fred, and this is after Marm went missing. Every weekend, he was back up there doing active searches with the police, and then he ended up just doing searches on his own, which he ended up getting in trouble for, and for trespassing and this and that.
Wow.
A man approached him saying his brother might have had something to do with Mara's disappearance because he found a rusty jackknife.
Yeah.
His brother had a record for violence, and his brother's girlfriend began to act strange right around the time that Mara disappeared. Their names were never released, and it couldn't be proved that either of them were suspects because the cops refused to take the jackknife as evidence.
What? Are you kidding?
Yes. It was never DNA tested. Nobody was ever questioned. They just said that there wasn't enough evidence around it. Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, I have a question. Like, so Fred is her dad, and this random guy just comes up to him with a jackknife, and that's his evidence? Like, he thinks that they killed Maura Murray because of this jackknife? Like, what does that have to do with anything? I mean...
I don't know if it was found near her car in the snowbanks where the area searched. I don't know. I think it was just acting strange that made him be like, wait a minute, why are they acting like this when this happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is strange. But I could see why the cops wouldn't take it because, I mean, honestly, it has no ties to Mora. I mean, that's how I look at it. Like, it has no ties to her that we know of. So why would they just randomly take this? I don't know. I see that as kind of sketchy. But that is an interesting way to look at that.
Yeah, I just feel like... It's okay. So being a parent, like if something were to ever happen to my child, I would never stop looking or trying to find out answers because at this point it's just, you need closure. Like, you know, nothing's ever going to bring them back, mm-hmm. but you want that closure, you know? So,
yeah.
And honestly, when you're only, I don't want to say the only person you can talk to, but like literally when the only people that can help you are the police, it's like, I feel like the police just kind of get fed up after a while. And it just becomes a cold case because, yeah, there's a case. But when you feel like at your job, you've done everything you can and you have this guy where it's like, here, take this hammer. They're like, OK, you know, and yeah. then it's like, great, got to add another thing to like, I don't know. I just feel like it becomes like almost like fatigue, workman's fatigue at this point where they're just kind of like, fuck it. Like, we can't, like, we've already done all these things. Like, this isn't it, you know. Did they ever interview those, the brother?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that. I don't
yeah, because so. Then, because like if they didn't even interview the brother, like that's kind of fucked up. But then also, it's like, what grounds do you have to submit this evidence?
Like, yeah,
because it's like, okay, some guy said that their brother did it. Well, are they on meth? Because I don't know.
Exactly.
I want to believe, like, the theory that makes the most sense to me is the fact, like, the one that says she just wandered off and like succumbed to the weather. But mm-hmm. also, they would have found her body by now, don't you think? Or bones, I think so. Or something.
I think so, yeah.
So the
I
next,
think they would have found it.
Yeah, the next two possible theories that I go towards are she wanted to start a new life, and this was kind of like an out for her. Or after the bus driver, someone came by, and she unwillingly, like, they took her. But I feel like people would have seen that.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think she might have, like, hitched a ride and met foul play or dropped off somewhere else and, like, tried to walk away on foot and died that way. It's crazy. It's you could disappear one day and never be found again. And I couldn't imagine going on and not having any answers, not having any updates throughout the case. Like, were you murdered? Were you abducted? Like, sex slavery, are you living a completely new life somewhere? Like, you're lost
somewhere. Even then, like, a whole new life with her, she took only a couple of her belongings out of her car and $250. It's hard for me to imagine someone like her who was in the military, like, had a good family, was probably middle class. Okay, yeah, she fucked up and had a DUI. She had some sort of issue she was running from. But to leave your whole life to go start a new life with $250 mm-hmm. and you're all over the news, you're plastered everywhere. How do you even start a new life? Like, how do you even begin that? Like, you have $250. So you're going to stay at, like, a shitty Motel 6 for, like, what, 3-4 nights before you don't have any more money left?
Unless, like, how does that work? Help. Yeah, unless she was getting help from someone.
But then at the same time, like, I feel like if you're the friend or the person helping, you have to have some sort of issues also, because there's no way that I could ever do something like that for someone. I don't care how close we are, because seeing her family go through so much pain, it's like, you're a shitty person, I feel. Because, like, look at, like, all this bullshit you've caused, like this, like that people think that she's, like, dead or whatever, and then you know she's okay. Like, fuck that.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, honestly, if she's 21, what could she have done that is so terrible she has to run away from it? Like, people do fucked up shit all the time and they're fine. You know what I mean? Like, what did you do that you're, even if she is, like, say she is in Canada 15 years, like, come on, girl, you can say it, it's fine now, we'll all forgive you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the mind of a 21-year-old, like I said earlier, is so wild. She might have thought it was the end of the world, even though it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's, like, I think sex trafficking, honestly, because murder is one thing. Like, I think that eventually, unless whoever did it, like, has the body and they've brought it to a different state or something, like, I seriously think it's sex trafficking, because once that happens, like, you're gone. No one's ever going to find you again. Like, it's over for you. Like, the whole underground, like, ring that they got going on, it's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Elizabeth, do you have any more, like, information?
I do. Okay, so, after Mara had been missing, I think, for about a day or two, Butch, the bus driver, was interrogated, but he said he hadn't seen Mara since he left the scene. Huh. And then, the next day, Mara's boyfriend, Billy, received a voicemail from an unknown caller, but it was short, and all you could hear was someone shivering, whimpering. They had labored breathing, as if they were really, really cold. And the boyfriend said, I think that was Mara, but it was a call coming from an American Red Cross. And is there any way that it could have been like a payphone outside of an American Red Cross? It was just an American Red Cross's name, like they were billed there or something like that.
So I watched a documentary, and they were interviewing Billy's mom. And she said that for Christmas, she gave Maura Murray calling cards. Do you remember what those are?
Yeah.
She gave her calling cards, and that's what they're saying she called from, is like a calling card. So that's why it was like a weird number.
Oh, my God. Huh.
But I mean, I agree. I think that was her. You know, whether she was like trapped somewhere and being held hostage, or she was out, I have no idea. Like, it's just such a fucking wild case.
It is. So anyway, this is the last thing I have. So February 8th, 2012, this is almost 7 years, one day short of being 7 years after she disappeared, okay? A guy named 112 Dirtbag posted a video of himself laughing throughout the whole video, and at the end, he winked. So people connected this guy with Mara's case because Mara's dad would call whoever harmed her, whoever took her, dirtbags. In any interviews that he did, he always said that they were dirtbags. So everybody put two and two together. And that, I mean, it's not a fact. It's just another theory. That guy had never been identified. But, I mean, look up the video. It's really creepy. It's really, it's fucking weird.
Also, she disappeared. Wasn't it Highway 112? Highway 112?
Oh.
Yeah, so his username was 112Dirtbag. I think I read a Reddit thread that said that they did look into this guy, and he was just, like, super mentally ill and kind of got off on messing with the family.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I mean, people do that. Like, there's a ton of missing persons cases where the families are just fucked with by, like, psychics and just mentally ill people. But it is a creepy-ass video. He's a creepy dude. Ariana, you should look it up real quick and watch it, because it's weird. It's a weird video.
Jesus, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, he's gross-looking. He's old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just... He's old. I did not expect this.
Yeah, it's... Oh. It's weird. Okay, what else you got, Elizabeth?
So that was it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hold on, I'm looking something up. I'm going to edit all these, like, silences out.
Oh, God, that was so weird. I feel so uncomfortable watching that video.
And that's why a lot of people assumed that he had something to do with it, because it was just such a weird, like, the username... And he never really says anything about her. I don't think he says anything at all.
No, he really does it. Just like him laughing.
Her boyfriend, Billy, what's his last name? Rosh. Recently has been accused of sexual assault.
Recently?
What? Yeah, I'm going to look that up real quick. Felony sex abuse.
What?
This is April 23rd. Billy Rausch turned himself in. He was arraigned on a charge of felony sex abuse. Wow. It's related to a sexual assault of a young woman in 2011, he pushed her down an escalator in the metro.
Jesus.
I mean, like, that's kind of crazy, unless she's making that up, which I don't want to, like, victim blame at all. But, I mean, oh my gosh, and it says 4 other women have come forward with similar stories. Oh my god,
wow.
But also, he was nowhere. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had an alibi that night. Like, he was nowhere near her. So he couldn't have had anything to do with it. But maybe she was scared of him and how he would react to, like.
It makes me wonder if they were really that happy, as everybody said they were.
Yeah, because the documentary I watched, his mom, which is weird that his mom was in this documentary, but her family wasn't. Like, she just wanted the attention. But anyway, she said that they were, like, about to get engaged, and they were so happy, and she loved Maura, and Billy loved Maura. But we don't know what their relationship was really like. I mean, that could have been a total, especially if she was supposedly cheating on him with the assistant track coach at the university.
Oh, true. Yeah. I did forget about that piece. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that a little bit more.
So the map that she printed was going to be to his cabin?
Yeah, it was to a cabin, but he's saying, I think the track coach said that that was the track team's cabin that they would go to, and that he was going to meet her there.
Okay, honestly, if I was him, even saying something like that makes you, I feel like easily incriminated. So I feel like he's telling the truth in that aspect. You know what I mean? Like, why would you say something like that that's going to pinpoint you as to be one of the people that could have possibly, like, taken her or killed her, like, or a suspect?
I also think it's strange that she just, like, flat out lied to her professors about a death in the family and that she was going to be gone for a week. So she had intentions of coming back, maybe. But then she packed up her whole room, or what she could, most of her stuff.
Yeah, in my mind, it's like, okay, she probably, some shit happened in her personal life. Maybe something happened at that party she went to before the DUI. Because I feel like if you're that fucked up, even though it was like 15 years ago, people would still drive other people home. Like, another Uber wasn't around, but still, damn, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like she could have easily gotten a ride home. And maybe something happened at the party that we don't know about, because I don't know. Because for her to get that fucked up and then still drive, like, there has to be something wrong.
Yeah.
And then gets in the car accident.
Oh my gosh. Huffington Post has an article talking to James Renner, who is that journalist that has looked so much into her disappearance. Mm-hmm. And Renner said that he talked to Maura's track coach, who admitted they were having an affair. But the track coach also admitted that Maura was talking about running away and starting a new life.
Oh.
Wow.
Interesting. But it still, like.
Go ahead.
But to still, like, run away and start a new life, like, yeah, she was 21 at the time. Shit was probably fucked up. But it's been 15 years. Like, even if she has a new life, like, she couldn't just, like, send a letter to her dad or just, like, let her dad know. If they were so close, why wouldn't she just say something to help him? Like, you know, like, if that's true, like, God, that's so fucked up.
Maybe she just has this insane guilt for, like, just fucking his life up, and she thinks if she comes forward now, I mean, why come forward? It's been 15 years, like, just stay gone. Maybe that's her fucked up mindset. But her track coach says that she had this fantasy of, like, wanting to get away from her boyfriend. They haven't looked into the track coach, because if he knew she was wanting to start a new life, he could just be saying that, and he could be the one who, like, did something to her.
That's true. Yeah, it could be him.
They have never looked into him.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because Dad seemed really understanding. You know, I mean, he forgave her for crashing the car, forgave her every other time that she was in trouble. You would think that, you know, even if she did go into hiding, maybe she would only stay in hiding for a couple of months and then come forward and, you know, talk to her dad and be like, this is why I did this. You know, But it's been 15 years, which makes me think that that's not what happened. Like, maybe she is still alive, but is being held against her will, you know?
Yeah. Have there been any supposed sightings of her? Because you know when people go missing, there's always like, oh, I saw them in California in 2011. Have there been any sightings like that? I'm going to Google that. I don't know if you guys already did. Because you never know.
Did you find any?
No.
Because I don't care how much you dye your hair or cut it, your face is going to look the same.
And she has a very, like, it's not a unusual face, but I don't know, this is gonna sound fucked up, it's kind of mousy, like her nose is kind of mousy. It's not just like an average face.
Yeah, it's like when you look at her, she looks like you'd be able to see her, like blonde hair or not, she looks like she'd kind of be the same person.
Yeah,
even like if you're in Canada, like I feel like this case is so like known that it's not just like, you know, like everyone knows about Casey Anthony, and that was over here in Florida. Like, everybody heard about that shit. Like, everyone's heard about this, too.
Do you want to hear something crazy about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to need both of you guys to Google this so you know that I'm not lying. Okay. So, I lived in Palm City. I lived off 34th Street. And there was an article that came out. And it said that Casey Anthony seeked out spiritual advice at Crossroads Church. Let me tell you guys something. Crossroads Church is directly across from my house.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I see. I just Googled it.
That crazy bitch. So, yes, the house. I don't know if you see the yellow house, but that's my house. That's my childhood home. And a baby killer literally had for 6 fucking months. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Like, there was a bunch of news cameras. It was wild. It was so crazy.
Dude. I just saw this thing on Reddit that says a lot of people think she ran away to protect a baby, like that she was pregnant and she wanted to get away from her boyfriend, Billy, and so she ran away. But I just, that's really
okay. She was drinking like a fish, so is she really protecting her baby?
Yeah.
Damn, fuck that baby, I guess. Shit.
Also, if she was so close to her family, if she was pregnant, she would have told her family. Maybe. I don't know.
Now that says an anonymous email indicated she is buried on a desolated trail. It was that, it's that renter guy. He claims to have received an email with the subject "Stop looking" from Ray Ruma, an anagram. So Ray Ruma is an anagram for Mara Murray.
Oh my God.
And it said all it contained was coordinates. And the coordinates led to the north slope of Mount Kerrigan, specifically to an area called Desolation Trail. Renner believes that whoever sent the email was intoning? I have no idea what that word is.
Basically, go ahead.
I don't know. Okay, hold on. So the coordinates led to the slope of Mount Kerrigan, specifically to an area called Desolation Trail. Renner believes that whoever sent that email was saying that those coordinates are where Mara's body can be found.
Well, have they done anything about that? Have they looked?
Yeah, I was about to say, did they fucking go up there?
Renner says he didn't go himself, though he maintained that volunteers went to find the body, but turned back because of heavy snow. So I don't see anything about, like, cops going or... No.
What?
Yeah.
I also wonder how much... Because, you know, when there's any type of investigation, cops will not release information that's, like, vital to the case. So I wonder how much information the public doesn't know about this case that only someone who hurt her would know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And because, I mean, they won't even tell her dad stuff like that. And I don't know. Missing persons cases are probably my favorite because it's basically a puzzle you have to solve.
Yeah.
I guess I should have been a detective.
No, I completely agree. Because sometimes when I read about murder cases, it's so personal. Like, I mean, you hear about someone getting, like, stabbed to death. And it's like, they're stabbed to death by, like, a big knife or a small knife. And it's like, that's personal. That person was clearly angry. And it's like, that blade ended their life.
Yeah.
And, like, that stuff will, like, stick in my head. And then, like, you can see, like, pictures and stuff. And, like, There could be video of like their last moments, and it just, it, that stuff can really mess with my head. But missing persons cases have always fascinated me. I mean, I heard about Mara's case when I was a freshman in college, and every single true crime video I've ever watched, she's always been in it. You know, like I've watched like countdown videos of like the strangest disappearances or like longest disappearances and whatnot. She's always been in them.
Cause like, what I think is like so fucked up too, is that I think a lot of people don't realize, especially with this whole like new, I do want to say it's a fad because it's really become big, at least in my eyes, most like 4 or 5 years ago, is this whole murder mystery shit, is that like going off of what you said about how personal it is, it turns people's lives inside out. Like, yes, the person's missing, right? But you think about like just on a small scale, just Mora's dad. Yeah. Everything that he knows about her has been told to somebody. Like there's reports of everything. Like he's been followed, he's been watched. Like everyone knows their whole life. Everyone knows their whole family dynamics. Like your life, even as just a family member, is turned upside down. Besides the fact that you're grieving the loss of your child or loved one. But on top of that, the whole public knows everything about you. Like everything. I mean, up until a point, and then there's like always those dark family secrets. Like I think Casey Anthony, that whole case is so fucked because like how Casey Anthony was using her parents' computer to Google like chloroforming your child, and the parents took the hit on that. Like, oh no, that was us. There, bitch, we know that was not you.
Jesus.
Like, but like they covered for her because that's their daughter, instead of just saying like, nah, dog, that was Casey. She fucked up. You know, like stuff like that. Like, it's just so personal for their own like family. Like all these people just like know all your business now. Like I'm a pretty private person when it comes to like my life, and to have like people just knowing everything about you. And then on top of that, you still have no closure, even like basically like, all right, here's all my dirty laundry. And it's like, none of that helped. And now everyone just knows everything about you.
I want to know why we never hear about Mora's mom or brothers and sisters getting involved. Like, we always hear about her dad and how he's constantly involved trying to find her, but I've never heard about her mom or her siblings. Have you guys?
No, I've never heard about, I've like, even the stuff that I've researched, I haven't seen anything about her siblings or her mom. Mm-mm.
So I wonder, is her sister Kathleen, like, is she still in the picture? Is she still alive? I mean...
Yeah, she's still alive. She recently did an interview. She actually, I guess, had her picture taken in front of all the stuff that was found in Mara's car. And she looks a lot older. I don't know exactly when the picture was taken, but I don't know.
Imagine running away at 21 to start a new life. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, like at 21, like I'm like, I don't even know how to pay my bills, so... Hope I can figure out how to start a new life with $250.
A lot of these people on Reddit say that that's what they think, that that's the theory that they believe in. And there was a tandem driver who came up and, you know, after she crashed her car, he or she took her to Canada. And I mean, if you had a person who was street smart like that and maybe who was going to stay with you through that journey, okay, I understand that because they could possibly teach you their ways and take care of you. But first of all, Piper, how did she meet that person? My mind is everywhere right now, but like when she bought all that alcohol, was she trying to throw people off? Was she trying to kill herself? Did she walk into the woods to kill herself? Why did her boyfriend get that crazy call of a person shivering? Everything in this case is just wild.
Yeah, that call with the boyfriend of the shivering makes me think like maybe she did run away, she got like stuck or something. And
so in that picture that I was talking about, she's clinging to her running shoes.
Oh my god, I'm looking at this picture right now, and tell me it's not like eerie. Like her face like is throwing me off.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm googling it right now.
Mom died of cancer in 2009.
Aww. That's why we never hear about it.
That's why.
Listen to what it says about Fred. So Mara's father, Fred, separated from her mother after she had an affair that resulted in a child. He lived in a dump of a house in Weymouth when Mara was in high school, and he was very active in Mara's career as a runner. and pushed her to apply to West Point. The weekend before Mari disappeared, he visited her at UMass. And then it talks about Julie Mari. She was also a runner. She graduated from West Point. She's still looking for her sister and asks for any info. Mara's mom died of cancer in 2009. Billy Rush, Mara's longtime boyfriend, had graduated from West Point and was stationed at Fort Sill when she disappeared. When police arrived at Mara's dorm, they found her things packed and an email to Billy printed out and placed on top of boxes. The email referenced a time Billy had cheated on her.
Oh.
Yeah. In 2011, Bill lost his job at Ray Group International after a number of women accused him of harassment and odd behavior. Wow. And then it says some of her friends. So I can't say her last name. I don't know how to pronounce it. We'll call her Kate Marco. Kate Marco, Mara's close friend at UMass. Kate was with Mara at a party the weekend before she disappeared. Kate had been dodgy when asked about the party, claiming she can't remember the name of a single person present that night. Huh. Sarah Alfery. Sarah worked with Mara at the art gallery at UMass campus and also attended the party with Mara and Kate. She is afraid to say anything about the events that weekend. Girl, what?
Yeah, girl, you had best say something. What the fuck happened?
Talk. That's the most selfish thing ever. Probably because she doesn't want to get in trouble for, like, drinking.
Bitch. Okay, what the fuck?
I wonder if something happened to her, too, you know? Maybe, like, I mean, my mind's wandering. I'm thinking maybe, like, I don't know. I mean, all I'm thinking about is just drunk, annoying, stupid boys at a dorm party and, like,
yeah,
something happening to the both of them, them being vulnerable females, you know, them being close. I don't know. So the next person is Tim Carpenter, Kathleen's ex-husband. They were still married in 2004, and he helped with the search for Mara in New Hampshire. He says Fred is a dangerous man and did not appear invested in the search for his daughter when the cameras were not around.
What?
Oh. Oh. Wow. Interesting.
Very interesting. And that's all it says.
All right. That's all of this is, like, really interesting. What theory do you feel the strongest about Elizabeth?
I feel strongest about her hopping into another car that was coming down that road after Butch had left. Her hopping in, getting dropped off somewhere else, her trying to walk to a new destination, and her meeting her demise that way. Just dying of everything around. I mean, it's freezing outside. She's cold. She was shivering to begin with. Yeah. She's alcohol makes us even colder, you know, and I think that's what happened.
So if she didn't want to get in with Butch, why would she get in with another person?
I think she was just so scared of actually for real getting in trouble this time.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Ariana?
I think she was trying to, like, start over a new life or some shit, or, like, at least trying to go to that cabin to take a break from whatever might have happened at that party. Mm-hmm. Got into a car accident because she was drunk again. And then I think someone picked her up and sex trafficking or something, dude. I think someone got her, some sort of fucked up type of person, and that's what happened, because especially with the triangulation of all the streets around that area, that's, like, it's not just straight, like, outback wilderness, you know, like, there were people around, people saw it happen, there was a bus driver that stopped, like, I really think someone picked her up.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I can't say if I think it's sex trafficking or if, like, they took her to their house and she's been chained in a basement for 15 years, because that shit happens.
Yeah.
You just don't fucking know. I think this is probably my favorite missing persons case, because there are so many different ways it could possibly go. I want to believe, like, my favorite theory that I want to believe is that she boot scooted it to Canada and is, like, living her best life up there. But at the same time, how do you do that at 21? And if she was supposedly so close to her family, does she not feel guilt for that? But then with her dad maybe not being the best guy that everybody thinks he is, Maybe that was her escape.
That's true.
It's wild.
I found some stuff about the charges pressed against Billy.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
This. Okay, so it's talking about the woman that, I guess, pressed the most charges on him. Their relationship began when she worked under Bill at the D.C. office. The inappropriate behavior began with sexually charged G-chat messages. Bill asked her to stay in his office after work. He invited her into his personal office and closed the door behind her. He threw her against the wall and began to kiss her hard. Afterward, Bill walked her to her desk and then deleted their G-chat messages and said this never happened.
Huh.
Bill began to hit her, sometimes leaving big bruises. Once he backed so hard, he chipped her tooth. He asked her to send him pictures of the bruises. That's fucking weird. On two occasions, he choked her and called her Mara. No, the name of his girlfriend who went missing in 2004. He called her Mara and said, "You are a bitch, you are a whore, you are a cunt." What?
Holy shit.
He would shower her with affection, gifts, taking her to expensive restaurants, and he would promise not to hit her again. But he could never keep his promise. On Valentine's Day 2018, Bill tossed her into the air in her apartment. The woman's head hit a light, resulting in a large gash with spilt blood everywhere. Bill called 911. Bill insisted on riding with her to the ambulance, to the hospital, and would not leave when she spoke to doctors and nurses, probably hoping that she wouldn't say anything, just to be there and be intimidating, you know?
Yeah.
When she got the stitches out, he insisted on coming with her, probably so she wouldn't talk.
Yeah, that's very...
him emergency contact. Some of these assaults took place at an overseas military base while Bill was deployed, which could result in charges through military court channels. The victim officially broke her relationship with Bill off on March 6th of the year. I don't know when this article was posted. So, well, I'm assuming it's maybe 2019. I don't know. March 6th of this year, when Bill was still deployed in East Africa, he did not accept no for an answer and began a campaign of stalking and harassment, which she documented thoroughly. Hundreds of phone calls, text messages, messages on social media, liking and unliking posts. And when that didn't work, he showed up at her apartment and sent flowers and laptops.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Social
media accounts to steer the narrative of the Mara Murray investigation online and to harass civilian journalists while deployed in East Africa. His job there, by the way, was using Twitter to monitor enemies of the state. Wow. Using that software and hardware on Americans is kind of a big deal. What? So he served out a protection order, which... Oh, he's been served with a protection order. Homeboy needs more than a protection order. We need a restraining order. We need... You need house arrest, dude. You do.
He sounds fucking crazy, especially calling her Mara.
Exactly. That's... Ugh.
I bet, like, he also, like, when all this was coming out, like, if Caroline's theory of her running away just to leave her life is true, I bet you Billy, when he found out about the coach, he probably, like, that's more of a reason for her to never come home. Because as soon as Billy finds out, he's probably so pissed.
You know, just another theory to throw out there, because I don't know his alibi. I'm trying to find it and I can't. But what if he was, like, following her and she crashed and, like, he's the one who picked her up and took her somewhere and did something to her? And I wonder if they ever went and searched. I'm sure they did. And searched the cabin that she was trying to get to see if maybe, like, she did end up there and something happened to her at the cabin.
It says, going through Mara's cell phone records from the days before she disappeared, on January 24th, Mara made two separate calls to the home of a woman who worked for the Department of Human Services, Children and Families, investigating and working on child abuse cases in Weymouth, Massachusetts. Her number was unlisted, but she sometimes gave it out to the clients. In 2004, she was retired, but she was working up until the late 1990s, but would have been an employee of DCF when Mara and her siblings, or even friends and relatives, were children. She does not recall speaking to Mara directly. This woman never spoke to the police about it, though her number was one of the last numbers Mara called on her phone before she disappeared, even in January. Because, I mean, that's wild.
That is wild. That's
crazy. I mean, I definitely think that she had some major issues with Billy. Billy sounds like a fuckhead, but I don't know, to have like this whole situation pan out in the way that it did, even if she did just want to leave. I don't know.
It's probably, I mean, I know that people have gone super in depth with this case because it is really wild and it's been 15 years. But what if it's just this most simple solution or just the most simple answer? This girl wanted to get away. She was on her way to do that for a little bit, just for like the weekend or something. She was going to just get fucking trashed and go to this cabin. She crashed on the way and she succumbed to the weather and she just died. What if it's that simple? And
but like, I feel like they
way overthinking it.
They would have, I feel like they would have found it though. I feel like they would have found her body because like how far can you really get in 10 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like
for no
like
one to find you.
Area.
Yeah. And like, yeah, wildlife, that could be like a thing, but it's like, you're telling me in 10 hours people couldn't have found her? Like someone had to have picked her up or she like actually got away, you know?
What is that, yeah. That one girl, was it Elizabeth Smart who was trapped in the...
Oh my God, yes.
Was she the one who was held captive for like 20 years?
Oh or my was gosh, that, I that, think so, wasn't it?
No, that was... Oh, fuck, what's her name? Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Elizabeth Smart was held captive, but not for 20 years. I think that she was just maybe a few years.
The one who was held captive for 18 years was J.C. Lee Dugard.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was the one that she had up kids, right? Yes. Oh, that was so gross.
In her book, it's wild. She was held captive. Elizabeth Smart was held captive for 9 months in a makeshift tent in the mountains. And she could hear everybody calling her name when they were searching for her.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember hearing about that. They actually took her to town at one point, right?
Yeah, and they made her wear like the Taliban style get up so nobody could see her.
And she like passed her family on the street, but she like was brainwashed at that point, so like she couldn't scream for help because she thought she was gonna die.
Oh, I would have. I mean, I can't say what I would have done because I've not been in that situation. But what I was gonna say is with the J.C. Dugar thing. I mean, she was living. I'm pretty sure what I remember. She was in this like backyard encampment. And she had animals back there with her, and she had her kids that, you know, the guy had raped her and had his kids. And she was there for 18 years, and it's only been 15 years with Maura Murray. And how do you know that shit isn't happening with her?
That's true.
Especially if it was, like, a residential area, and, I mean, someone
even then, the family that finally let them go into their basement, I found that article you were reading, and they said there's only, like, a couple of, like, pipes down there and something else. What's to say they didn't fucking clean that shit with bleach every day for the past 15 years till they actually let them come into their basement? You know what I mean?
Well, and they never like actually let them come in. They just sold the house and the new owners let them come in.
Right, exactly. Like, how do you not have a search warrant for those homes? Like, I don't know how police work works, but I mean, someone went missing in this vicinity and there's like 5 houses here. Let me check your shit.
Yeah, also, why would you...
Lee Dugard was a predator, and he was on probation, and he would regularly get searched, but only his house. It was never anything in the backyard.
Wow.
So, like, yeah. Yeah. In her book, she was talking about how she became friends with, like, a spider that was in there, and it, like, lived in the corner or something.
Oh my God,
like that.
I remember hearing about that.
It makes me wonder, because the guy that kidnapped her, he watched a bunch of videos, read a bunch of books about home birthing, so he knew what to do, but it makes me wonder, like, how bleed out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so wild. I think we should end it here because we could probably talk about this for a really long time. But I'm glad that we, like, have our theories that we think. And, I mean, maybe one day we'll have, like, a resolution to this. I would like to have a resolution just so, like, for her family's sake. Completely agree. Whether she's, you know, dead or not, I just couldn't imagine, like, if Henry were to go missing or, like, one of you or Rich, to never have an answer. You just feel like there's this huge chunk of your life missing.
Yeah, dude.
Forever. And it's just mind-boggling that they can still function in their everyday life. I don't know. It's crazy. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I'm so glad we got to talk. Ariana, you want to do our outro?
Of course. You guys can find us over on Instagram. That's where we're the most active, over at Wild and Woke Pod. We also have a Twitter, wild_woke. So you can see our tweets there. Also join our Facebook group. That's also Wild and Woke on Facebook. That way we can talk to you guys there. And if you've made it this far, feel free to leave a 5-star review. And even if you don't like it, still leave 5 stars. Just tell us why you don't like it. It took me 45 minutes to do it. So please, someone do it. I know y'all got iPhones. I'm literally the only one on the planet with an Android. So thanks really? For listening. Yeah. I'm literally the only one on the planet with an Android. Okay. 45 minutes.
You can do it.
Awesome. You guys can do it. I believe in you.
Lizzie, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm going to hang up now.
Bye.
All right, bye guys.
Bye. Oh.